You're listening to the best of the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, welcome back. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Eagles cover up the bus stop signs, and controversy continues. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Cioli. You know, the thing about this whole controversy over this illegally placed advertisement, I don't think the Eagles are behind it. Because, look, I mean, it's like I've been saying, if you're going to do something like this, you go big. You don't go bus shelter. You know what I mean? You're going to endorse Kamala Harris knowing the blowback you get. Either way, you endorse a candidate in this political cycle, you're going to get blowback. So either way, you're going to get blowback. So you know that. I mean, they're not stupid. They know that. And they're not going to risk that over a bus shelter stop. They're going to go all in. And nothing would be a dumber move by the Philadelphia Eagles than to just do a half-baked bus stop shelter sign, knowing that you're going to have some percentage of the population that doesn't believe you if you're just doing it as a trial balloon. And the other half is going to be angry if that's all you do. You know what I mean? If you're backing Kamala Harris and the best you're doing is putting up bus shelter signs, you're gonna have people who are angry at you. Like, that's all you're doing? So you either got to go big or go home on these things. So I don't think it's the Eagles. Now, Intersection Media, which is the company that does the advertising for the city and for, I guess, the Eagles, they put out a statement earlier today. And let me just share that with you, because I think this is important to say. Intersection Media put out the following. It's a New York-based company, which owns the bus shelters where the ads were spotted, released a statement. Well, first of all, why are we using a New York-based company for Philadelphia advertisements, even illegal ones? Anyway, we are aware that several of our bus shelters located in Philadelphia have been vandalized, and that the paid advertising copy in each of those shelters has been replaced with unauthorized copy. While our bus shelters have locks that typically prevent the installation of unauthorized copy by non-intersection staff, occasionally people find a way to unlock the box and insert an authorized copy. The unauthorized copy in this case implies an endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris by the Philadelphia Eagles. We note that the Eagles and Intersection had nothing to do with the creation or posting of this unauthorized copy, and Intersection staff will be removing the ads as soon as possible. Now, the city of Philadelphia also put out a statement as well saying, these were not digital ads placed by the Harris campaign, the Philadelphia Eagles, SEPTA, the city of Philadelphia, or the media agency Intersection that handles the transit ad space. This was not a digital breach. Whomever is responsible for this illegally placed posters broke into the securely covered shelter ad space and somehow put the posters in the space. Intersection has advised the city's Office of Transportation and Infrastructure Systems that they plan to conduct a full inventory tomorrow, that would be today, of all bus shelters and remove any illegally placed posters. The city has a process to review all bus shelter ads, but this again was not a digital ad. The real question, of course, is, you know, they're saying it's this street artist or whatever. This looked legit. I mean, the thing about these ads that looks so legit is they had a website on there. And I remember I'm at the pool yesterday. I'm with Claire and I'm hanging out with her, and I'm seeing this blow up on Twitter, and I thought, oh, come on. The Eagles aren't going to do this, are they? They're not that stupid. After the NFL was all woke a few years ago and they got all this blowback and people stopped watching football, they're not that stupid, are they? And I said, there's no way they could do this. So I went on the website. I clicked on the link of PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. It gives you all kinds of voting information. It links you to the League of Women Voters, but there's no endorsement of any candidates on there. And I just said, thank God. You know, thank God, because I want to be able to watch the Eagles season this year. I don't want to have to sit this one out because they endorse Kamala Harris. And I think a lot of people would. I think they would lose a massive amount of revenue and a massive amount of fans. So I can't imagine they'd be that stupid to actually do this. But again, if you're going to do it, you go big, because you don't want to lose. You want to back the winner. So that's advertising 101, because people are like, well, they got caught. Well, that's the whole goal of advertising, is to get caught. You want people to see it. Otherwise, it's not advertising. I mean, literally, you advertise so you get caught, so that people see your message. And, you know, South Philly Joe, I mean, great guy, right? I mean, this is a guy who went out there and took it upon himself to cover these ads up. And I don't have a problem with what he did. I think the guy's right to do it, because these are illegal. There are legally placed ads. And you know the you know how this stuff moves and takes forever to actually have people go out there and respond to this. Now, the Eagles went out there and covered up other bus shelter signs, apparently. They said they did that as well. I think they're worried. I think they're worried about the blowback. I think they're worried about people not believing them. See, the thing about it is that since the NFL went so woke years ago, it's completely believable that they would go down this road. It's completely believable. That's the sad part. I mean, we're putting up with all the kneeling and all the crap they did for years and years, and Colin Kaepernick and all his nonsense, and you know, all the woke signs on the field, you know, like and the helmets and everything else. I mean, 100% it's believable that they would do this. Absolutely. The only thing that stops them from doing this is the fact that I think they're smart enough to realize she's going to lose Pennsylvania and lose the White House. And so they don't want to be on the side of the losing team. And if you really think she's going to win, like I said, you go all in. You do flyovers, you put ads everywhere. It's a big partnership and it's a big deal. And you endorse her with her there. You don't just put up a bus shelter advertisement on like 34th and Walnut or whatever it is in University City. You don't do that. You go big because you want to be able to take massive credit for this. They wouldn't do a small thing knowing they're going to get blowback on this. And I know that, you know, there's everybody's suspect and suspicious these days of everything because we've all been lied to so many times. But I just think when you're dealing with a massive organization like the Eagles and they're trying to be cognizant of at least not repeating mistakes maybe that they've made in the past in terms of alienating fans, there's no better way to alienate a fan than this. Because you will immediately lose half your fan base. And I would say in football, it's probably more. I think there's probably more Trump voters. I'd say it's probably 2/3, maybe even higher, of people that are football fans. I mean, the left wants to cancel football because, you know, you get concussions and it's mean and has roots in plantation ownership or whatever other nonsense they're putting out. I remember years ago, there was this one guy who was arguing that the NFL was slavery because the players were mostly black and the owners are mostly white. And so even though these players are making millions of dollars a year, like money you can only dream of, they're still saying it's a form of slavery. Like, I'll never make that kind of money. You'll never make that kind of money. But it's somehow slavery? And nobody's forcing them to play either. That's the other part about this. He's like, you don't have to play in the NFL if you don't want to. You can say no. You can play your whole college career, get drafted, and it's to be like, no, I'm gonna go sell insurance. I don't know who would make that decision, but you legally have the right to, whereas slavery does not allow you to do that because it's called slavery. But I digress. I think they would have to be so stupid to go down that road of backing Kamala Harris for a number of reasons, but primarily for the fact that if you care about your fan base, I'm telling you, most of those people watching the Eagles, going to Eagles games, they're voting Trump. They're voting Trump, and I don't want to have to not watch the Eagles. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not people within the organization, because like any other corporation, you're going to have woke people there. That doesn't mean that other people in the organization are not hoping that maybe they'll come out and do this, but I don't know. I think even Taylor Swift's a little nervous about coming out for Kamala Harris, because this is a bad campaign. That's a really bad campaign here. The other point, too, on Kamala Harris, which is important to note, is I was on Fox yesterday. I was talking about some polling data. You know, I always tell you that people lie to pollsters about who they're going to vote for, but they never lie about how they feel on the issues. Trump is winning every major category. And the economy is handling the economy. I mean, every single category. But when it comes to the economy, it's not even close. It's not even close in terms of how he's crushing it. So there's a very obvious thing here, which is that people trust him on handling the economy. And what I said yesterday was, look, they've had a chance to see how both of these guys do the job. And by guys, I mean Kamala Harris, because she was part of this administration. It was the Harris-Biden administration. I'll go so far as to say she was probably running the show more than he was. Because, I mean, we know the guy's a vegetable, so he wasn't in charge. And people kept wondering about who was behind the scenes and everything like that. How do we know it wasn't Kamala Harris? I mean, I know she's not that bright, but does that seem to be a high bar of entry? Probably not, right? The one thing that's hurting Trump, apparently, is just Trump. But that's according to polls. I don't know if I believe that either. You know, I get an email a day or a text a day or a tweet a day from somebody saying, can you tell him to tone it down? I can't tell him to do anything. He will do whatever he wants to do. So at that debate coming up in Philadelphia next week, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. But again, I think he's got reason to believe that it works for him since he's won at least once, and his mind twice. Oh, and that brings me to the next election interference nonsense. And, you know, this whole thing with the fake ad in Philly, it's absolutely election interference. So if you want to really charge this guy, that's what you charge him with, election interference. Hey, he's putting out illegal campaign messages, and you go down that road. Why not? But also, doesn't the Eagles, I mean, you try to use one of their brands without being the official sponsor, good luck. You know what I mean? Good luck. That's why every time you watch a football game, they're always having, it's the official lawyer of the Philadelphia Eagles, the official, bone doctor of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's always the official, and they pay big, big money for that sponsorship level. So go after the guy who put this up and demand the money since he used your brand and your trademark and everything. See, that's how the Eagles can make this right, is if they demand some sort of a financial compensation for illegally using their branding, their trademarks, and everything else. Now, that's how you know. That's how you know they're really upset by this. And that's what they should do. What they should do is they should come out and they should say, not only are we not behind this, we want to be compensated for the use of our logo. We're going to sue this guy for a trademark violation. Yeah, that's how you'll know. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's how you know. Listen, I think if they thought Kamala Harris could win, they'd back her in a heartbeat if they really believe that. I just don't think they think she can win. Like the woke people in the NFL, I'm saying. Like woke NFL people would, who again, don't care about their fan base. But at least some people smart enough to know that you're going to lose a lot of people. Like if they back Kamala Harris, I wouldn't watch a game. I wouldn't. If they went that far and took away the joy of a football game, which is an escape, I'd be out. I would. I would have no interest. None. I wouldn't, because I don't want to be lectured to. I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of it. I think we all are, aren't we? I mean, the whole lecturing everywhere we go these days, I'd be out. I think most people would. If nothing else other than the fact that they want politics to stay out of it. And yeah, we put up with the helmet signs and the stuff on the 50-yard line. And things. We put up with it, but, you know, it's annoying. And I prefer it when that stuff is not there because, again, I don't want to be lectured. Like end racism. Don't lecture me. I'm not a racist. I don't want to be lectured. I'm paying money to be here, or I'm watching your program. So don't lecture me. Now, the Bud Light fiasco, which a lot of people think, well, are the Eagles now pulling a Bud Light? I don't think so, again, because it's not big enough. So far, at least 6 ads have been spotted around town. One has been reported online at the intersection of 16th and Spring Garden Streets, and NBC 10's cameras found one at the intersection of 18th Street and John F. Kennedy Boulevard in Center City. The team began taking them down Monday, hopes to have them all removed by Tuesday morning. One of the ads in the city's University City neighborhood was covered up by copies of the Philadelphia Eagles statement saying that the ads were counterfeit. And that was the one that South Philly Joe did. He covered that up. And good for him for doing it. Now, listen, if it wasn't for the fact that it was Claire's birthday yesterday and we were spending the day at the pool with her, I would have left and drove into the city and I would have put signs on it myself. I would have. Try to go viral. You know what I mean? I totally would have loved to have been viral for the sake of it, but it's got to be a good dad, trying to be a good dad. But the latest election interference nonsense in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania that we got to worry about is the mail-in ballots. And so here's the latest on this now. On Friday, there was a ruling. I don't know if Opelka talked about this or not on Friday, but mostly because he doesn't miss a damn thing. I'm sure he did. And that's this. Mail ballots cannot be rejected over improper date on the envelope, according to a Pennsylvania court ruling. Now, you know my opinion on this, which is that if you're too stupid to fill out a ballot improperly or properly, your vote should not count. It shouldn't. That's it. It shouldn't count. Not counting a voter's mail ballot because they failed to properly date the return envelope violates their rights under the state constitution. How does it violate their rights? Nobody stole the pen. Like, I mean, I can understand that. If somebody stole the pen, or deprived you of getting a pen, or gave you the wrong date. If the government was involved in showing you the wrong date. But last time I checked, calendars are not racist. Everyone can own one, and you have one on your phone. You can ask that dumb smart speaker who won't answer a thing about Trump, but will tell you everything you want to know about Kamala Harris, the A word. You can ask her what day it is. She'll tell you. But apparently now it's a violation of your rights if you date this wrong. So I got a question. What if I send in my taxes late? If I send in my tax payments late because I had the wrong date, do I have to get fined? Do I get penalties by the government? Or have we decided that dates and times are now racist and violate my civil rights? Not counting a voter's mail ballot because they failed to properly date the return envelope violates their rights under the state constitution, a Pennsylvania appellate court ruled Friday. Republicans said they would immediately appeal the ruling to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, but if the decision stands, it could affect thousands of ballots and influence the outcome of close races. The 5-judge Commonwealth Court panel split 4-1 on the decision. Judge Ellen Ciesler wrote for the majority saying, quote, and this is ridiculous, the refusal to count undated or incorrectly dated but timely mail ballots submitted by otherwise eligible voters because of meaningless and inconsequential paperwork errors violates the fundamental right to vote recognized in the Free and Equal Elections Clause. Well, what about having to be registered? That's paperwork. What about that? Why do I even have to bother registering? That's unnecessary, cumbersome paperwork. And what if I get there late to the mail-in, to the actual polling place? Do I have to be burdened? Can I unburden myself from the time? What is it? I know the polls close in Jersey at 8. What is it, 9 in Pennsylvania? I get there at 8:02, and it's closed. Why should I lose my right to vote because of arbitrary time issues? Huh? What if I go the wrong day? Really, what if I show up to vote on Wednesday? And why can't my vote count? Why should I be burdened by meaningless and inconsequential things like the date and the time? This is so stupid. And of course, the ACLU is behind it. And they listed several challenges to the dating requirements since the state implemented its mail voting law, Act 77 in 2020, which required voters, this again, passed by the legislature, required voters to sign and date the outer return envelope of their mail ballots and return the ballot in a secrecy envelope in order for them to be counted. Federal judges have gone back and forth over whether enforcing the requirement violated federal voting law. The current case is the first to directly challenge this requirement under the state constitution. Lawyers for the plaintiff hailed the ruling. The decision has strengthened the right to vote in Pennsylvania. But this is, I don't understand why it's a violation of civil rights. If you made the mistake, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. The Pennsylvania GOP and the Republican National Committee intervened in the case. A spokesperson for the RNC said the decision is an example of the worst kind of judicial activism. Courts should not undermine election confidence and integrity by striking down common sense election laws enacted by the people's representatives. Damn right. I'll tell you something else, too. The reason why Democrats love this, I have a guy in here who's a Philadelphia-based Democratic election lawyer who said that this is a great ruling. Ruling should apply statewide. You know why they love this? Because the people that are likely to not follow instructions and make these mistakes are likely to vote Democrat. Well, it's true. I mean, if you can't fill out a ballot properly, good odds that you don't have the mental capacity to choose correctly in the presidential election, that you are going to make a very bad mistake and choose somebody who's going to make your life worse because you're not smart enough to put a freaking date on a freaking ballot. On an envelope. Give me a break. Now, thank God there was at least one judge who disagreed on this. But now the question, of course, is going to be, where does it go from here? And you got to ask yourself, even though it was enacted by the legislature and signed by the governor, what is the Pennsylvania Department of State saying? They're hailing the decision as a victory for voting rights. Now, think about this now. The state of Pennsylvania, which has the obligation to see that the law is enforced, they're hailing this ruling, saying multiple court cases have now confirmed that the dating of a mail-in ballot envelope, which election officials can already confirm it was sent and received within the legal voting window, provides no purpose to election administration. This ruling makes clear a voter's error of forgetting to date or misstating a ballot envelope cannot be a cause for disenfranchisement. Hey, what about if they forget to vote? Even Governor Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, tweeted that the court got it right. Explain this to me. The job of the governor is to see that the laws are enforced. And the governor is not doing that. Why? Because he knows the people who are most likely to mess this up are Democrats, Democrat voters. And if you don't like the law, change it. I mean, that's the other thing, too. This is a law. It's a law. You could change the law if you wanted to. Instead, let's just go through the courts. Let's just go through the courts and make sure that we make it as easy as possible for morons to vote. Morons who will be voting for morons. And this is a big deal because during the April primary, counties rejected really about 8,500 ballots. And you know how close this election is going to be in Pennsylvania. So stuff like this matters. But I want to know, if you just forget to actually vote, should your vote still be counted? Why not? If you thought it, if you just thought it but didn't either vote in person or send in a mail-in ballot, should your vote still count? I think so. Otherwise, you're being disenfranchised. Why should you be burdened with actually having to take the time to vote? That seems to be just a complete abuse of your rights to actually vote. You should just be able to think it in your mind. Tell a friend. Tell somebody. Tell anybody. Tweet it. Why not? Why should you have to actually go through all the burdensome work of voting? So stupid. All right, we got more to talk about as we continue. I had a chat with Tulsi Gabbard. I'm going to play that for you. Played it earlier in the show, but promised the Trump campaign to play it again for you. And Eric Trump, too. So that was way back in the 3 o'clock hour. You probably missed it, so it'll be new to you. Don't worry. But we got more to come. Don't forget, Friday, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, 3 to 7 p.m. My happy place, the Grand Hotel. I want to see you there, okay? Join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Live shows are always a blast. A blast. So I want to see you there for the Grand Hotel, Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. You do not need a reservation to come to the show. Just come on in. It's free, and it'll be a blast.
You're listening to the best of the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so while I was away on vacation, I had a chance to chat with Tulsi Gabbard right after she endorsed Donald Trump for president. And remember, Tulsi Gabbard spent 20 years as a Democrat. 20 years. Even wrote a book called For Love of Country, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party. For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party. And now she's in the inner circle of the Trump team. Inner circle, backing him, helping with debate prep, and the transition too. So I had a chance to chat with her. The audio quality is not super great because I was on a cell phone. She was on a cell phone. But nevertheless, had the chat, had the conversation with her. This is now your chance to hear it. And we talked about a lot of different things, including why she's backing Trump, what debate prep will look like, and the transition, what it will look like, and how we can make sure that we can actually root out the people within government who will try to stop him and stop his agenda going forward. You know, the various powerful interests that always seem to get in the way. The deep state, the swamp, the same people that run the world, you know. We'll come back to the Eagle stuff, too, as the show goes on. And we're going to actually talk to Caroline Leavitt, but I also have another interview I did with Eric Trump that I want you to hear as well. President's son. So without further ado, Tulsi Gabbard.
Joining me now, the one and only Tulsi Gabbard. Great to have you back in Philadelphia.
Thank you so much, Rich. I'm looking forward to being there physically soon for the big debate.
Big news. I mean, you are making headlines everywhere. First of all, you officially endorsed President Trump. Like, we kind of had a sense you were going to do that when you said you were going to help him with the debates, which I think is crucial because you literally crushed Kamala Harris in the debates in 2020. But also announcing that you were going to be part of his transition team when he wins the presidency and begins in the White House for a second term. So that's really huge news.
There's such a clear choice in this election, Rich. You and I have talked about it a little bit, but we haven't spoken, I think, recently since Kamala Harris became the official Democratic nominee. It is not about Democrat versus Republicans in this election. I think it's important to point that out. It's really about a choice between freedom, peace, and prosperity, or tyranny, war, and economic hardship. This is why I think it's so powerful that President Trump is assembling people who may not agree on every issue, who have different political backgrounds, but who care, truly care about those issues, about freedom and about peace. We cannot be prosperous without peace. And this is what President Trump is committed to. It's what I'm committed to, and why I'm going to do everything I can to help him get elected.
It's very Lincoln team arrivals, you know, bringing people who disagree with you, even people who are against you in political battles, and then sit them around the table and say, all right, we got to fix this. You mentioned, you know, tyranny and war and all those things, and I've always loved the fact that you have spoken out against those things. There's a lot of different complexes at work here. You know, I know, for example, Bobby Kennedy joining the team as well and talking about the food complex and the pharmaceutical complex and all these big complexes who are working to really have control over the American people, and something that President Trump wants to fight against. Can we do it? Can we overcome these incredibly powerful complexes, whether it's war, food, pharmaceutical, whatever it is?
It can be done, Rich. It definitely can be done. It's going to require a couple of things. It's going to require, obviously, President Trump needs to win this election. He is in a unique position where he has one term to serve, where he can make the kind of transformational change unlike any other that we've seen any time in our lifetimes, number one. Number two, he needs to surround himself and build this team of people who put the interests of the American people ahead of politics or power. Too often, and we see this in different administrations, people are appointed to these positions who are looking out for their next political job more than they are about actually serving the people and doing what's right. So he needs a team of warriors for freedom ready to get to work and make this big change happen. And lastly, he's going to need a Republican Senate, and not just a Republican Senate, but one that recognizes this opportunity, because as you and I know, unfortunately, there are some neocons and folks who are beholden to lobbyists, even in the Republican Party. So in the House and the Senate, we need the very same thing. We need people who are putting our country first above everything else.
Tulsi Gabbard, as a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army Reserve, when you think about war and you think about the fact that America right now is spread so thin, and I read a story the other day that, you know, we don't even have enough manpower for ships. Some of our ships are being, well, I don't know if you'd say manpower. I think Justin Trudeau would be very upset. So we'll say people power. But people power for some of our Navy vessels. I mean, the world is at a really terrible point. But during the Democratic National Convention, I heard them going on and on about Ukraine and how we're committed to Ukraine, but they didn't outline a plan. They didn't outline an end game. They just kept saying it over and over again, thinking that if they just kept saying it, it would ring true, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Kamala Harris has no understanding or experience when it comes to foreign policy. She has shown just the other day on the third anniversary of the Abbey Gate bombing in Afghanistan that took the lives of 13 Americans. All she could bother herself to do was put out a short written statement. To my knowledge, she has not called any of those families at any point over the last 3 years to apologize for the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan that she and President Biden are responsible for. Their deaths were preventable. They Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are responsible for that. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that in her Democratic convention speech, she said a lot of things, but it didn't actually mean very much what she said. It was just a bunch of words, and again, it exposed, quite frankly, the words she chose are more of the neocon warmongering terms. She didn't talk at all about how she, as president, commander in chief, would immediately work to bring about an end to the Russia-Ukraine war, to be able to save people's lives and to get walk us back from the brink of nuclear war that Harris and Biden have led us into.
Tulsi Gabbard, so in 2020, as I mentioned, I mean, you tore Kamala Harris apart. You brought up the fact that as a prosecutor, she went after people for petty drug crimes, put them away. You know, she's flip-flopped in all these issues. You did an amazing job. So Trump calls you up and says, hey, Tulsi, I want you to be part of my debate prep. for this debate, because you know how to take her down, take her out. So you're doing debate prep with Trump. What's the key that he needs to think about as he heads into this debate?
Well, first of all, President Trump is certainly not your a politician. I think he's about as unpolitician as there is to be possible. So, you know, he doesn't really do debate prep like politicians do. He knows the issues. He knows her record. And he is ready to step up on that debate stage. If I can be helpful in any way, what I'm bringing to the table is really just that experience of having shared the stage with her and having an understanding of what kind of tactics and games she's going to play in order to try to get under his skin or bait him or sell a lie, continue to sell the lies that she's been selling to the American people about her positions on issues that are diametrically opposed to her record. And so that's really what I'm looking forward to in this debate, is it'll be President Trump's opportunity to confront her directly about her record. She'll say a lot of things, and she will deliver lines in a very artful way that her pollsters have scripted for her. But when President Trump challenges her on her record, just like I exposed her in 2019, she'll be exposed again for the truth about who she really is and how unfit she is to be our president.
Tulsi Gabbard, I really appreciate you making time. I really appreciate you helping out the Trump team and President Trump directly, personally. He's incredibly wise to bring you in for some counsel and then to have the transition team and surround him with good people, because he acknowledges, you know, the mistake that was made last time was bringing in a lot of the swamp creatures, bringing in a lot of people who were the Republican Party stalwarts. And they were not looking out for his best interest. They were looking out for their next steak at the Capitol Grill and how to make themselves even richer. And we cannot have that again, because these people were literally undermining the president of the United States of America, and they were supposed to be the ones helping him launch his presidency.
I think the fact that, you know, as President Trump's campaign announced yesterday, the fact that Bobby Kennedy and I, along with Donald Trump Jr., who stands strongly with us against all of these different complexes, as well as Eric Trump, the fact that we are all co-chairing the transition team, I think sends a pretty strong message about the fact that President Trump is not going to make that mistake again, and what kind of people we will help to assemble to form this new administration. But we got to win first.
Damn right we do. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your help, Tulsi Gabbard. And we will see you in Philadelphia for the big debate. Tulsi Gabbard, I appreciate it, my friend. Aloha and thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Great to talk to you and look forward to seeing you.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And we'll talk to the other guy who's going to help with the Trump transition team, Eric Trump, Trump's son. Next, I'll play that for you. Not sat down with them, but talked to him while I was on vacation. See, always working, even when I'm not working.
You're listening to the best of the Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I just heard that Kamala Harris is running ads on the station. I just heard those commercials. Well, that seems like a gigantic waste of money, huh? Wow, stupid. By the way, we can't reject political ads. It's a FCC thing. We got to play political ads. But that seems like a real waste of money. Who's she changing over in this audience? At least during this show, anyway. I think it's a stupid move. But hey, what do I know? This is a dumb campaign with a dumb message. In fact, they had Joe Biden on the campaign trail with them yesterday. So they're not making very smart moves from that campaign. But I think one thing is for sure is that advertising on this radio station is like setting money on fire for them. But they are a dumb campaign. And there you go. That's a great example of that. Stupid. Why would you? Who are you? It's, anyway, we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. But I want to play this clip for you. This interview with Eric Trump, who is, of course, a son of Donald Trump. And he is going to be part of the transition team along with Tulsi Gabbard. I recorded an interview with him while he was on vacation last week. And we chatted about a number of different things. So take a listen.
Eric, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to have you back in Philadelphia. It's been too long.
Thanks, buddy. It has been.
Pennsylvania. I mean, this is the must-win state. We got to do it. I know your wife's been here a few times, Laura Trump, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. She's been here a few times working hard. This is the battleground. We're here, ground zero for this election, Eric.
Yeah, listen, there's no question in Pennsylvania. If Pennsylvania's won, obviously the entire country's won, and there's no question. I think we won Pennsylvania last time, but, you know, I can tell you that what's happening in the state. I know very well. Every Trump lived there. I lived in Pennsylvania for 5 years. I know the state incredibly well. My father went to school there. Don, Ivanka, Tiffany. I mean, our entire family went to school in Pennsylvania and lived in the state. But it is a state we care about a lot. It's also a state that's totally under assault. I mean, Pennsylvania's got the most, you know, natural gas and pretty much on the east coast of the United States and really in the United States. And you see an administration that puts an all-out, you know, ban on any kind of fracking, any kind of, you know, exploration of that gas when they have more liquid gold under their feet than anybody else. You've got cities like Philadelphia that are a mess in terms of crime and violence, carjackings, robberies. There's not a single person that lives in the city that doesn't feel that and doesn't know it very, very well. I lived right outside the city, and, you know, I mean, it was bad when I was there, and nothing has changed politically. But that has to change because Pennsylvania is a great state. And then you just have a country that's overall a mess. I mean, you have, you know, the largest price increases in the history of our nation. Nothing's affordable anymore, Rich. I mean, nothing. Gas is three times as expensive as my father was in office. Mortgages are unaffordable. I mean, my father had 2.5%. You know, interest rates on mortgages, and, you know, now you're at 7, 8, 9% if you can even get one. The prices of houses have become unaffordable because of inflation, because of, you know, Harris and Biden, what they've done. I mean, people can't live. You have zero wage growth in this country, zero wage growth in this country over the last 4 years, and you've had 10% inflation every single year, and it's why people have just gotten absolutely crammed down and can no longer, you know, afford life. All while we have a border that's an absolute mess. We have 300,000 kids this year who've died of fentanyl poisoning, all coming across the southern border. You know, and you have politicians. I mean, my father's laying a wreath in Arlington National Cemetery, you know, 2 days ago for, you know, the 13th anniversary of Abbeygate in Afghanistan, the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. And you have Joe Biden literally sleeping on a beach. I mean, you know, this is these people, and it's hard to believe that this is the incompetence that could be running this country.
There's a lot to unpack there. Let's talk about, first of all, 2020. You said, I think we won. You know, there's no doubt, first of all, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court absolutely interfered in that election and overstepped the Constitution, usurped the legislature, and said mail-in ballots can be counted for days. They don't need postmarks. They don't even need to be legible. They cheated, no question about that. That's something that's not a conspiracy theory. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania 100% did. Everyone knows that. But are you worried going into this election that the Democrats are going to try to steal this election? Are you confident that we can have a fair election? I mean, it's 4 years later. We know the tricks, we know the games, and we know they're going to play them.
Rich, I'm mortified, but at the same time, I sleep next to a person every single night who, you know, who works 20 hours a day on election integrity and has done a hell of a job. I mean, the victories that we've had all across the country, including many in Pennsylvania, and I'd say Pennsylvania is one of the hardest states in this regard, but have been, you know, astronomical. I mean, you know, she got 1.1 million people off the voter rolls in Texas, illegal immigrants, you know, people who had died. I mean, they just never claimed their voter rolls. Same thing, Clark County in Nevada. They just got 90,000 people off the voter rolls there.
That's
They've
awesome.
Had so many big wins in
That's
Arizona.
Amazing.
And I can keep going through it.
Wow.
She just sued Detroit because, you know, in Detroit and in Michigan, you have to have the same amount of poll watchers, Democratic poll watchers, as Republican poll watchers. So we submitted all the Republican poll watchers, and they took 40 of them. They took 2,000 Democrats, right? And so you had 2,000 against 40. And, you know, they wrote them a letter. They never heard back, you know, and about 48 hours later, you know, they filed a massive suit in Detroit. There's 86, 87 lawsuits that are currently underway right now. There are efforts to clean up the voter rolls, and you have the biggest election integrity effort in the history of our country. And by the way, and more so in Pennsylvania than probably anywhere else. So I can say that we're doing absolutely everything we can. But listen, let me just go back a little bit. They've done everything that they can to take out my father in every way, shape, and form. I mean, you know, they made up the Russia hoax, right? And the dirty dossiers. They tried to impeach him twice, right? When that didn't work, they weaponized every single AG and every DA and every, you know, far left state, right? In Atlanta, Georgia, and in, you know, New York City and Washington, D.C. I mean, the most far left districts, they weaponized those districts. And then when that didn't seem to be working and all it did was drive up his poll numbers and fundraising, what did they do? They turned to Colorado and they turned to Maine. And, you know, let's take him off the ballot in those states. Let's have a couple, you know, radical justices, you know, defy the will, you know, of hundreds of millions of Americans who deserve the right to vote in a free and fair election. And, you know, then the Supreme Court overturned that. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, You know, they tried to kill him. I mean, you know, some lunatic literally shot him in the head, right? They, you know, shot him in the ear. And they've done everything that they could to try and take out my father. And there's no question. There's no question that they play funny games. I mean, you know, the games that we saw in Philadelphia in 2020 were astronomical. They weren't letting our poll watchers in the convention center. They weren't, you know, we found ballots in creek beds. I mean, I can go on and on, right? I mean, that's just the tip of the surface. But, you know, what I can tell you is we've had greater registration, Republican registration in Pennsylvania than ever before. We're poised to win the state. Every person that's listening to us right now knows that we're going backwards as a country. We've lost our respect around the world. Again, no one's living the American dream. People can't afford to live in this nation anymore. Wages stink. Jobs are going back overseas. You know, we're losing our industry again. I mean, it's one of the things that the strong dollar is doing is making it unaffordable for people to buy American products and unaffordable to vacation in America. I mean, you know, and it's also causing, you know, companies to go overseas where they can use a strong dollar to buy cheap product. You know, we have so many problems, not to mention endless wars that we're funding, you know, $200 billion spent on Ukraine, while we have the 30th, our educational system in this country is 30th in the world. So we spent $200 billion so young kids can shoot each other in trenches at point blank range, but we can't invest in our, you know, educational system in Philadelphia and in cities across this country. I mean, have we lost our minds? And I think everybody knows the answer to that. We have. All while you have an inept administration. You have Kamala, who's, you know, sitting there, you know, her vice president, you know, pick. You know, if Donald Trump builds a 25-foot-tall wall, I'm going to build a ladder factory in Mexico to build 30-foot ladders. I mean, this is a guy whose greatest accomplishment in Minnesota is putting tampons in boys' bathrooms. Like this is what he campaigned on, tampons in boys' bathrooms. And, you know, and not to be long-winded, but you have somebody coming out and, you know, you have Kamala coming out and saying, you know, my first priority is going to be to focus on high prices in this country. And I'm sitting there saying, listen, I know the White House better than any human being on the planet. Like, your office is, you know, 5 feet away from the Oval Office. Like, where the hell have you two been over the last, you know, 4 years, as prices have just decimated everyone, decimated every business, decimated lifestyles in this country, decimated, you know, the American dream? Where have you been? And now you're going to focus on it? You know, it's a little too late.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well said. And, you know, look, you are a business guy, obviously, and Trump wine, which I highly recommend. If you can find it in the stores, grab it. It's delicious. The Meritage, my favorite. The effect of a business climate on Kamala Harris, if she raises corporate taxes, there's not enough attention about this. But that's one of the things your father did when he first got in there, was lower the corporate tax rate. We were able to bring all this money in from overseas that was just sitting there because people didn't want to pay the taxes on it. She's going to go backwards with that. And they keep talking about, we're not going back. It's literally what they're going to do if they win. They're going to go back to those high corporate tax rates.
I just want to put this in perspective for everybody. France did this. And you don't have a single company in France anymore. It has decimated their economy. There's no backbone to the French economy anymore because every single company has left France because they can't afford to be there. They can't be competitive with the rest of the world. She wants to tax unrealized gains. So you have a gain. You have a gain on paper, but you never sold a product, right? You never sold a house. You never sold a company, but there's a technical gain on paper. She wants to tax that at like 49%. I mean, you're going to bankrupt every company in the country. You're going to bankrupt Apple. You're not going to – no company will survive this. And, you know, I don't think they know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, this is a person who's never signed the front of a check, never, you know, had a real job, never ran a company. I mean, what did she do? I mean, she's been dependent on the government her entire adult life, no different than Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden – I'm a 40-year-old guy. Joe Biden's been in office for 55 years. 55 years. It's crazy. But what we need to do is we need to have my father put in the biggest tax cuts in the history of this nation, and he'll do so again. He put in the biggest regulation cuts in the history of this nation. He'll do so again. He's going to seal the southern border. He's going to stop the fentanyl crisis. He's going to focus on education, something that really means a lot to him. We're 30th in the world in education. We should be number one at education, and we're falling behind. Our kids are falling behind. He's going to focus on inflation. He's going to focus on prices. He's going to bring interest rates back down to where they were before, which is largely driven, as you know, better than anybody by inflation, right? I mean, the only reason interest rates are high is to combat, inflationary pressures that were put on by Kamala and Joe and their war on oil and gas and excessive spending. Or you get interest rates down. You're going to get life affordable. People are going to be able to live the American dream. And my father does not need to be doing this. I mean, he does not. You know this, Rich. I mean, he does not need to be doing this. His life would be exponentially better at Mar-a-Lago and taking it easy and having fun with his grandkids. But we've got to save this country. We're going in a horrible direction. You know, just it's so sad to see. It's so sad to see.
Well, I appreciate you working so hard. I appreciate Laura working so hard as well. You're a great guy. I remember the first time I met you at Trump Tower back in 2015 in the fall when nobody thought your dad had a chance. But here we are today, and we got to make sure we put him over the finish line again. Eric Trump, thank you for your time. It's great to have you back in Philadelphia. Come back and talk to us again soon, my friend.
Can't wait, Rich.